Well, thanks for joining me. Let's pray. Let's pray the chaplain. I want to pray for Senator Fetterman from Pennsylvania. Apparently is battling depression and is being treated right now. We'll pray for the state of Pennsylvania and its citizenry, too. Land of William Penn. That was such a strange election, wasn't it? But I'm going to lift him up. I also just received a text, and I want to share this with you. This comes from a friend, my producer, Tom, sent along. He says, the University of Mary's faculty were asked to shelter in place. And you know, we have Monsignor Shea on the air all the time from the University of Mary. He says, there was a real bomb threat 10 minutes ago. Authorities apprehended a suspect. They're still doing a sweep of the campus in case he left anything behind. Meanwhile, everyone there is still sheltering in place. We're trying to confirm all of this right now, but we're going to pray right now for safety. I said to my wife the other day, we were several shootings, the one in Michigan. You take a look at your local news, how many shootings take place in the cities near you, and then you see all these attacks on school. It's unbelievable. University of Mary in North Dakota, right? A bomb threat. It is crazy. What is going on? Let's ask God for mercy. Let's ask for healing. Let's ask for just peace to reign. I see a demonic spirit so vivid, just creating division. Wanted to steal life, right? Wanted to destroy life. Let's pray for the attacks and division in your life. Let's pray for it in our country. Let's pray for peace also in the world. If you are just new to the program here, too, I invite you to join us. I'll give you a phone number. You may not be able to get through because the phone lines fill up pretty quickly, but the number is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. And that's your hotline into the chaplet. You can always send your intention to my producer, Maggie. She's monitoring the show Twitter page. And our show Twitter page is at Drew Mariani Show. At Drew Mariani Show. You can follow me at Drew Mariani as well. But send them to the show, and Maggie will voice them just a little bit later. I just want to share one quick email that came in. This person said, Drew, please share this miraculous healing with your audience. She says, I called for prayer during the chaplet near Thanksgiving of 2022, and I asked for prayers for my firstborn adult son, oldest of 11. He wanted to become a priest in his early teens. He was smart, and he was kind, he was funny. But he became addicted to prescription medication, and that led to full-blown fentanyl addiction. He actually became homeless and jobless, and true, he lived a life of addiction for nearly 15 years. He had been in several rehab programs and never showed any interest in giving up his life of addiction. Anybody who's a loved one who's addicted, you know what that's like, right? These people have no freedom. They are enslaved. They are chained. They are bound by the addiction. And the hooks of that evil one and that drug are so deep in them, it's unbelievable. This kind future priest living homelessly and on the street. I mean, imagine the pain of this mother. You see how Satan breaks up families and divides, how he robs people of their future. She said, I had been praying and praying and praying for 5+ years, and I called into the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And I asked for prayers, and you, Drew, prayed for him in such a beautiful manner. I'm sure the words were a gift of the Holy Spirit. And I'll stop on that point. They really are. I take no credit for any of this. I really feel the presence of the Holy Spirit during this chaplet so often. Those words aren't mine. And she goes, while you were praying, I immediately realized that he was going to be fine. I was overcome by an unbelievable sense of peace, a peace for the first time in years I felt. Well, you're not going to believe this, but the very next day he called me. He said to me, hey, Mom, take me to rehab. Now, I'm telling you, Drew, he was healed of his fentanyl addiction. He was healed of his fentanyl addiction. He's been out of rehab now for over a month. While this amount of time may seem short for an addict, he has shown my husband, his father, and me that his strength and determination to stay sober. He's attending AA and NA meetings sometimes twice a day. He faithfully attends outpatient rehabs 3 times a week. He's receiving many potential job opportunities in a particular field weekly. I wouldn't normally say that he's healed, but he has never shown this level of dedication after rehab ever. In addition to his recovery progress, a second miracle happened. My husband had a drastic change of heart. For the past several years, my husband wouldn't even allow him to step a foot in our home. He wouldn't even speak to him. He wouldn't even let me speak to him about my son. Even after months in rehab, miraculously, when he was released from rehab, my husband allowed him to stay in our home during his transition to living sober. They are gradually mending their relationship, but I just can't stop praising Jesus. I can't stop praising his love. I can't stop praising his mercy. I know my son will find his way back to our beautiful Catholic faith in time. Just want to say thank you for your ministry and for all who prayed for him. And I say this to you all the time, don't I? And I really want you to hear me, and I want you to believe me. God is more powerful than addiction. An addiction as binding, as poisonous, as fentanyl addiction. This man, after that prayer, had an about face, and God is liberating him and freeing him. I want to continue to pray for his sobriety. I want to pray for everyone that is battling addiction today. Don't think that your cancer, your addiction, your financial problems, your relationship problems are unable to be healed or remedied or overcome. Because I'm going to tell you, you're wrong. With God, all things are possible. I just encourage you to pray with faith. I encourage you to pray today with trust, to really believe it. And God allows us these windows, these opportunities, these rays of light. And that's what this mother was. She prayed for years for her son. She called into that chaplain, and what happened? The next day, things changed. And they can happen in an instant. Now, I want to pray for you right now. All right, my colleague Maggie is praying with me, my producer here. And Maggie, as we begin, I always ask anything you'd like to lift up before we start.
Drew, I want to lift up the Turleys over in the UK. We just had Kevin on, and I know that
love Kevin.
He and his lovely wife stay up almost every night and pray the chaplet with us. So I want to pray blessings on them. And also, one of our engineers was just in here telling me that his daughter is on a school trip right now, and one of her quote-unquote close friends is being mean and exclusionary towards her. And so I want to pray for his daughter and for this other gal that she might grow up a little bit.
That's hard. All right, we will do that. Let's pray for anyone who's being bullied and anyone having issues. And let's pray for you now. We'll begin as we do every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take our first call today. It comes from Joanne, listening to us in Harrison, Maine. Joanne, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I have something you will say, oh, I could have told you that, but I will quickly tell you, a friend of mine from nursing school contacted me. They've had a horrible number of deaths in their immediate family. Her youngest brother died of stage 4 pancreatic cancer last November. 2 weeks ago, her youngest brother developed, had this little skin lesion that a typical guy did not get it checked, and it turned out to be multiple melanoma. So wow. I called on Wednesday because he was scheduled for surgery on that day, and Patrick Alog, God love him, answered the phone. He tried to put me in the queue. I was going to be the last intention, and he came on and said, oh, we ran long, but I tell you what, I'm sending your request to the prayer team and also to Drew. So you can call us back on Friday with your gratitude comment. I said, no, there's a positive man. And so sure enough, I got an email from Judy today, and Judy's, was a non-practicing Catholic. And I mentioned Relevant Radio to her months ago, and she loved Father Simon and the chaplet. And so I had told her Wednesday that I was calling Relevant Radio on behalf of Joe. As she wrote back and she said, Joanna, this is more than I could have ever asked for in prayer. They found two lesions in his lungs, but they're isolated. And no metastasis to his brain or lymph system. She said, he is one blessed Irishman.
Joanne, that is fantastic. That is such great news. I love it.
He's got 15 weeks of chemotherapy at Mass General, 3 weeks at week intervals, so he's on a long road. So we're not home free yet. I also, you will laugh at this. You've always spoken about St. Peregrine. So Tuesday before the surgery on Wednesday, I went to praymorenovenas.com and signed up for the St. Peregrine novena. So it takes a village. I don't know which one of my patron saints, St. Peregrine, but they all pull together. Thank you.
They're all working. Believe me. What a beautiful answer to prayer. I mean, I'm so grateful for your call. Thank you for that, because I just love the way God works. You know, we'll pray that cancerous spot can be resected and he can return to complete health. Or if it's through chemo, radiation, whatever the treatment is he's going to be dealing with. I know you said he's 15 weeks of this. That God just restores him. And God works in mysterious ways. He really does. And maybe through this process, he'll also grow in greater holiness. And what a witness to the power of prayer in the way that God is always at work. So, Joanna, I'm going to pray for you, for all of your intentions. We'll pray in gratitude for the way God answers our prayers, for good test results, for the vanquishing of cancer, for the thwarting of its spread, for the loved ones of those who struggle with that in a special way. I want to pray for Jenny, if you are listening, I want to pray for your daughter. I'll keep her name anonymous, but Kathy told me about what's going on. I prayed last week. I don't know what the latest is, but we're going to continue to pray for her, okay? And Lord, we give you our hearts, all the intentions that we each have personally. We ask for your mercy as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Dallas, Texas. Hey, William, good afternoon.
Yeah, how are you, Father? Father Drew, sorry. I thought you were Simon for a second.
That's fine. I'm just Drew.
I wondered if you could answer this prayer request. I wondered if you could pray for my father. He's in the hospital sick with cancer right now, and I was just wondering if you could pray for him.
First of all, William, I'd be glad to pray for your dad, and I'm glad you got through. How old are you, by the way? You sound quite mature.
I'm 12.
So you must be pretty stressed out, huh, right now? You're worried about your dad. I'll tell you what, don't worry. I remember when my dad got really sick one time. He had a heart issue, and he had to have a real major surgery too, and I was very concerned. But I prayed, and I think God hears the prayers of sons. And like you, the Lord heard my prayer, and I'm going to pray that the Lord helps your father right now. So be strong for your family, okay? And we're going to pray for you. You got not just my prayers, but you have everyone else right now who is listening to us, whether they're overseas or here in the country. So many souls asking our Father, who are in heaven, to hear our humble prayers. So, Lord, I just give you little William here. I thank you for his prayers. Let him see the power of your mercy and the power of prayer, particularly the power of this chaplet. And I just pray for a real turn right now in his father's health, that he may find recovery and healing, whatever it may be, whether it's from medical procedures or by your divine touch, Lord. But fortify this young man and bless his family. I pray for all those who are struggling with cancer, all those who are in the hospital now, in the ICUs, and the NICUs and the PICUs, those who are in critical condition, those who really need, Lord, your touch, who need a healing, who need a miracle. I give you these souls as I pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Hang in there, William. I'll be praying for you, okay? I promise you that. More prayers coming for your dad later today when I spend some time with the Lord, okay? And you pray for us. We're going to pray for each other. Before we go to Mariana, who's in Riverside, California. Maggie, what's coming in on our Twitter? What are the prayers being asked for today?
Dominique wrote to us, Drew. She says, I'm asking for prayers for my mother who got hurt at work over a year ago. She's still struggling to settle with workers' comp. I pray that that can be settled soon so she can have surgery and get back to normal. It really hurts to see her suffer this much. Jesus, I trust in you. Jeanette wrote to us and said, please pray for my brother-in-law and his best friend Heath and Heath's wife. Heath died suddenly yesterday, and he worked with my brother-in-law and sister in a small family firm. Kelly wrote to us and said, please pray for my friend Michelle. She's only 42. She's a type 1 diabetic who's been waiting for kidney, pancreas, and liver transplant, and she just had a heart attack. They're now reviewing and thinking about adding stints. She needs a miracle, only one that God can grant. And lastly, we got an answered prayer from Papa Scott on Twitter. He says, I have answered prayers from a chaplet prayer request. My daughter Jody has struggled with alcoholism for the last 10 years, but as of November, she is a year sober and doing fantastic. Wow. And I pray every day for her continued sobriety and for relief of all those who suffer from addictions. Thank you so much, Drew.
Amen. Wow, what a beautiful answered prayer. A lot of heavy intentions, Maggie, as I say every day, man. Really intense stuff here. A lot of suffering. For the past two nights, I've been woken up in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. For some reason, normally I sleep like a baby. But I've turned to prayer, and I've prayed the chaplet. Of course, I pray the rosary, but I don't know whether it's somebody here in the audience or I don't know if it's a soul God's calling home, but you know, I offer my prayers for you when that happens. So I'm grateful to hear these answered prayers and know that, you know, if you don't get through on these phone lines, we are praying for you. Mariana in Riverside, California. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. On January 16th, my husband announced that he wants a divorce. He's found somebody else. He's an addict. I've gone to Al-Anon and Catholic recovery. And I found out, like, there's also, like, lust addiction. He is was a convert to the church, and we weren't married in the church, but it's been difficult. I wish he had left me with at least a little bit better financial footing. He was my sole provider. We owned a business together. I'm okay.
My addiction.
Emotionally. Yeah, because of you. You recommended Father Yuval's book, and if he can forgive, I can forgive. I don't hold any anger or animosity. I just want his recovery.
Well, Mariana, you're such a beautiful soul. No, go ahead and finish. But I love your testimony. We had a call yesterday from a woman whose husband left her for a woman 30 years younger, and it just breaks my heart to hear this. And you know, forgiveness is the key. I mean, you'll find healing in that, and you'll find your own liberty. But I mean, you impress me so much. You really do. But go ahead. I didn't mean to step on you. Go ahead and finish your thought.
No, it's okay. Drew, 13 years ago, I lost my husband on February 20th. So this isn't the worst thing in the world that I've had to endure. God has given me really strong shoulders, and I rejoice because I am glad that I can carry a lot of the burden for everything that I have had to endure. Yeah.
It's so hard to do that, though. I know. You're not alone, okay? I want you to know that. You're not alone. We're here for you. All right. And look, you have not just my prayers, but I can feel the prayers of so many other people. They're interceding before God for you right now. And I hope God blesses you in ways that just surprises you, brings your husband back, brings his healing, brings that person into your life that you need. I don't know how God will resolve this, Mariana, but I'm going to pray for you. I promise you that. I'll pray for you later tonight as well. And just don't despair. I know you're not. And I'm so impressed by that. But put yourself in the arms of God and trust him. And I know God hears your prayers. I know he hears the ache of your heart and the tears that often flow from your eyes. And Lord, I just right now give you this wife who has suffered so much loss. Father Ubal, we call upon your intercession. We ask you Father Ubal, for those who don't know, his whole family was massacred in the Rwandan genocide. And he fled. He went to Lourdes, France when the genocide was going on. And the Lord spoke to him and said, go back and forgive those who've done this and spread my message of reconciliation. And he did that. He actually not only forgave the man who massacred his family and all of his parishioners, but he took on that man's son and put him through college and was a true example of mercy and of forgiveness. And that was his message to the world. It's one for all of us. And the miracles that surrounded this priest were amazing. So let's ask him to intercede for us now as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Richard's in Saco, Maine. Hi, Richard. Good afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. My niece, who's also my godchild, is getting married in July. She's raised Catholic, but she's not getting married in the Catholic Church. And when I told her about not being valid and not being sacramental and all the things that I found in the canon law, she said it doesn't matter to her. And when I said I couldn't go, she said, I mean, she hung up on me, and that was a week ago, and she hasn't responded to any of my texts, so I'm heartbroken, and I thought I couldn't go to the wedding, and I'm probably the only one not going from the family.
All right, well, Richard, let's do this. Let's pray for you. I know how much you love your faith and how much you love God and how you want to be a true witness to her. Lord, you're not alone either, Richard, believe me, and you're the godfather. I mean, there are so many parents who are faced with this situation as well, and it's a difficult one. Lord, on this particular decade, I come before and I ask for reconciliation. Reconciliation in Richard and his niece. I pray for father and son, mother and daughter, in-laws, friends, co-workers. I give you those broken, ruptured, wounded relationships. I pray for conversion of heart, the removing of those spiritual blinders. Lord, I pray for truth. I just pray for healing. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Kasha is our next caller out of Chicago. Hi, Kasha.
Yes, hi, Drew. I want to lift up my brother, who is a priest on Long Island, Father Yanu. He got paralyzed like 9 weeks ago from the roof down. He's just 45 years old, so we need a miracle. They have done whatever they could in a hospital. They're trying to find out exactly what happened, but it's probably viral. But we need a miracle. He's 45 years old, and I want to pray for all priests. All priests. I love all priests. So, all right.
Well, let's,
and I want to just
Kasha
one more
first...
quick lift up. Mm-hmm. Yes?
No, go ahead. Very quickly.
Just quickly. I want to lift up one of the family who is a very good friend of them, and they were with him from the first day he was in the hospital, and they have two kids with a genetic disease, too. Okay. And they have 3 kids total, so I want to lift them up because they are so amazing. They take care of him, they help him out. So
let's do that. We'll pray right now for him. We'll pray for all those attentions. I don't mean to cut you off, but I know I have a hard and automated break at the bottom of the hour coming up soon. I don't want to clip off our prayer. So Lord, I just give you all who are on hold. I give you Kasha. I give you all those right now who are praying with me and who need your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Is that the last one, Banger? Do I have one more?
I have one more.
Me too. I wasn't sure. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Reconcilers of People and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, it is great to be back here with you. Thank you for praying. Continue to tell others, really, about that chaplet of Divine Mercy. I'll tell you, it is so powerful. Feel the Holy Spirit. And as you heard today, so many answered prayers. You know, so many answered prayers. And please write to me as God is working a miracle in your life. Email me, drew@relevantradio.com. drew@relevantradio.com. And mark an answered prayer or praise report, and I'll be sure and share it with everyone else. You know, I was praying at the National Shrine of St. Maximilian Kolbe. It wasn't too long ago. My daughter was in with me, and she and I, we went to Mass, and I think we were going to do some adoration afterwards. And I was walking out, making my way down the front steps of this church, and I hear somebody say, "Drew! Drew!" And I turn around and look, and who is it? Well, it's a woman who I've known for a long time. Her name is Moira Noonan. And she's a very gifted author. She has written books. She came out with a new one called Spiritual Deceptions in the Church and the Culture. It's a comprehensive guide to discernment. I know that's a big issue. And I've spoken to her in the past about some of her other works. You might know her very well. Her name's, as I said, Moira Noonan. She wrote the book Ransom from Darkness. It was a book on the New Age and really for the battle for souls. So I got a chance to talk to her. When I was there, she handed me a book. It's called Spiritual Deceptions in the Church and the Culture, a comprehensive guide to discernment. And I said, look, you got to come on. We've got to talk about this. This is such an important issue. And she joins me right now. Moira, thanks for taking time to out of your busy day to be with us. It's always good to talk with you.
It's always good to be with you, Drew. Thank you.
And by the way, great book. I have both of your books. This one is something else. And I want you to introduce everybody to it, because there's so many different aspects to this. I know there are exorcists right now that have told you that they love this book. We live in a time where I think Satan is becoming more aggressive than ever. He no longer hides in the shadows, right? He's no longer in the dark. He no longer wants to convince us he doesn't exist. But we see his fingerprints all over the division in our family, the addictions. We see it on the headlines. You've written a book to kind of pull back the veil or shine a light on many of these deceptions. Share a little bit about what you wrote and how you, what led you to do this.
Well, exactly that. There's exactly that, because we are so, some of the exorcists are saying that the spiritual disaster is apocalyptic proportions. It's come crashing down on mankind in full strength for all of us. Every day there's more interest in occultism and parapsychology. And in the United States alone, there's hundreds and hundreds of colleges offering courses in parapsychology and fields of magic, astrology, witchcraft. It's just in millions of young people joining magical cults and sects every day, Wicca clubs in the high schools. You can't have Christian club anymore, but you can have Wicca club. Why? Why is that? Why is it so dominant in their youth? Why are these, the video games that are being offered are just pretty serious? And how is it that we can discern what's, as parents and as grandparents and aunts and uncles, godparents, and just religious educators and youth directors, how can we all understand what's really going on? They say that priests that I've heard from just in the last couple of years have always said the number one thing that they hear in confession, especially for young people as young as 12, including girls, is pornography. So,
for real?
Right.
I find that
striking.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yes. Yes, pretty serious. So pornography is really, really offered into these in these rituals and so forth, in the video games and so forth, that are teen-approved games with, that's not, there's so much, emphasis on the sexuality including witchcraft is always going to be promoting satanic rituals that include any kind of sexuality and offering up, sacrifice of the self and everything. It all started with these rock bands and Black Sabbath and, even Rolling Stones back then. And people were throwing themselves on the stage and saying, okay, you know what? We just want to offer ourselves for sacrifice. Remember all that? With the Rolling Stones, used to have the Hell's Angels be their bodyguards. It's kind of crazy. So what has really happened is that it's very popular among young women, especially in the teen literature. So this teen, which is Wicca for New Generation. And you can understand. Well, I remember being a teenager myself. At the adolescent stage, you just really want to have more control and power over your life. And these books offer you and the video games and the internet. They offer ways to control their lives, their parents, even teachers they don't like, and other friends and boyfriends they want to go out with. And it's all about power and control. It's not about humility, docility, practicing the virtues of the Christian faith. Because mainly they're not even taught the virtues. They're taught maybe to, get their sacraments, and they get an hour of religious ed a week, and they get 24/7 of the media bombarding their minds. And so when I've been asked to do youth retreats, especially confirmation retreats during Lent or at any time, I say to the youth, you're welcome to have all the chocolate and all the pizza and all the food you want. We're not going to fast on that. And they look at me like, well, okay, lady, what are you talking about? I said, but we're going to fast on the media. Give your mind a chance to renew itself, to actually hear from the Lord, to actually hear something positive, to have the light of Christ shine through instead of all the demonic games that you're watching. I mean, just to give you an example of some of the themes of these games that are popular for teens. And, that we have them in the book, Spiritual Deceptions. There's a whole chapter on the occult and teens and the media, the occult and the media. And, I worked for Francis Ford Coppola, the movie director, so I know about Hollywood and the movies and how they're actually, they plan this. I remember when I was getting my degree in media in university, and the big thing was, does the media follow the society or the culture, or does the culture influence the media? The media is actually socially engineered to create the culture. That's really the reality. Yeah. So the movies, the games, and everything. I mean, when you take a look at some of the themes on what they're going to do, it's about killing priests and.
It's crazy. Moira, I was thinking just about what we're seeing, how just about every aspect of modern culture has been infiltrated. And I don't want to get too dark, because clearly good is stronger than evil, but we've got the Satanic Temple, right? They're opening an abortion clinic in New Mexico. I couldn't think of anything more sinister than that. And then you've got everyone from Disney to, astrology columns that have slipped into the mainstream, really have confused the culture. It's evolving very rapidly. Shows on vampires, TV shows on mediums. I mean, we are inundated with this stuff. What are the spiritual dangers of those who entertain this and just think that it's harmless?
Well, it's very, very clearly, Father John Hamm says, the most obvious way we let Satan into our lives is through sin. He's, of course, deceased, fantastic priest, we both know.
Yeah, I do him personally.
Right. Serious and habitual sin can be a gateway, he says. An innocent person can be affected by hexes or curses. But I would say, he says, most of the cases of possession needing serious deliverance come through the involvement in the occult with the video games, with even children playing Ouija boards. Remember the movie The Exorcist? That was an innocent young boy playing Ouija board. His parents got him to the Catholic priest at the monastery to get him delivered. And any kind of doorway to the occult, which is why we really helped with the teen section to have parents understand this, because they're not really aware of these things. He says that people have lost the faith. And superstition, Father Gabriel Amorth, maybe he's saying he's dead now, I don't know. He's in heaven anyway, we hope. He was the exorcist for the Vatican for 50 years. He says that superstition, magic, Satanism have taken place, and they open the doors, to the demonic. And the children are ignorant of their perils, but drawn to fascination and mystery of games such as Ouija boards, video games, and different kinds of things, and they have been off on Ouija boards that are like Barbie doll Ouija boards now for little girls. They have guiding light angel boards, pretending it's not a Ouija board, but it's an angel board. Contact your angel. It's all going to be fallen angels, and there's not enough teaching on it in the church. But when you talk to the youth, they really feel the oppression of what they're doing, and they really do want to know. They do want help. They don't realize they're not given a lot of options. And our Catholic catechism warns us about these things. These are really mediums. He's playing with the games, whether it's a video game or other. They are, it is becomes a medium.
Yeah, they're dangerous. They are dangerous. Yeah. They open portals. Now, Mario, I got to hold you right there. I'm up against the clock. Stay with me, okay? I don't mean to cut you off, but I have to take a short pause here, okay? We come back if you want to join us. I only have Moira probably another 10 minutes. Our number is 888-914-9149. Taking a look at some of the modern-day spiritual deceptions with author Moira Noonan. You might want to check out her book. It's well worth the read. And the book is called Spiritual Deceptions in the Church and the Culture. It's an eye-opener. We'll be back with more. Stay with us.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
I want to break free.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining us. You can get into the conversation here at 888-914-9149. I just heard the promo for that pilgrimage I'm going on. I've been told there's only two seats available. So, you know, in for all respects, it's sold out, just so you know. I heard the ads run. They may still run. So if you're thinking about it, there's two seats, but I've been told it's pretty much done. So whoever made it, congratulations. You can put yourself on the waiting list. Hey, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with author Moira Noonan on spiritual darkness, the way it's infiltrated the culture and the best ways to protect ourselves. And, you know, I was saying this is not to make you afraid. I mean, right now, I think it can be clearly argued that we're seeing evil all over the place, right? And I think it's important for spiritual direction, this protection, I should say. That's something we often talk about, right? You should protect your families. I remember Pope Leo XIII in 1884, he warned about a period of evil that was on its way. He had this incredible vision of a conversation between God and Satan after he finished Mass in the Sistine Chapel and he collapsed. And when he was done, he wrote encyclicals on the Rosary. He wrote that powerful prayer to St. Michael. He had it prayed after every low mass in the Catholic Church for a long time, all the way up to Vatican II. And I never forgot that because I thought, gosh, we could use the protection of the angels, couldn't we? We need to be more sensitive to what we're seeing in our families, the division, the discord, the anger, the addiction. What are the roots of that? You know, when you pray, you are connected to God. And the more you have God, I think there's less room for evil, the less the devil's able to gain a foothold in your home. And if you're filled with the light of God, then there's no room for the prince of darkness. And you're not to fear. You are not to fear, okay? I really want you to know that. I believe in the use of sacramentals. I think you should have holy water in your home. I have it in my car and in my office and in my home. Blessed candles can be efficacious. I think frequent use of confession and receiving communion, fasting, the prayer of the rosary and the chaplet. I mean, these are all weapons that we have, and there's nothing to fear. But we also have to take the blinders off and be aware of what's transpiring. Moira, it's good to have you here with us. Let's jump right into the phones. We'll grab a call for you. Virginia is listening to us in Encinitas, California. Virginia, hi. You're on the air with Moira Noonan.
Hi. I know, Moira. Anyway, just wanted to say, I worked for many years for a big box retailer beginning in 1997, which happens to be the year that the video game Grand Theft Auto came out. And year after year, I watched as people would buy these games, and I used to draw their attention to the warning, which is 17 and over, mature, graphic violence. It glorifies killing and glorifies committing felonies. I was appalled at how many people would say, first of all, had 6, 7, 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds in tow, and would say, I don't care, it's what he wants. And some would say, oh, no, I won't get that. And my boss said, don't draw that warning to their attention. There was a warning on the register, too, when I was working the register. And I didn't obey that order. But then another Christmas, the most popular game was glow-in-the-dark Ouija boards. And at that point, I was an operator for this big box retailer. When they would call for that game, I would just kind of put them on terminal hold.
Oh, my
you know,
gosh.
I didn't want to sell that, you know?
Yeah.
so, and when I think, and just think now about the escalation in school shootings and match those dates up. I worked there from 1997 till 2012. Yeah. And those kids that were 8, 9, 10 years old, all over the country, I'm assuming, buying these games, were now, you know, that matches up with the escalation in school violence.
Virginia, you're so right. And Moira, let me bring you into the conversation with her as well. I mean, she talks about these video games. I know you've talked about them, too. I think, you know, today, one of the major portals is not just the occult. I think that's a major, major one. But I think, you know, pornography is something that is so rampant. I have a friend who's an exorcist, and he often talks about you know, the infestations that we're now seeing as a result of men and women who are beginning to dabble in these areas. And to Virginia's call, Virginia, thank you for doing what you could, large or small, to make
you,
a difference. I'm grateful for that. But I want your thoughts as well, if you can. You heard what she had to say. I mean, what are some of the best ways we can safeguard ourselves? What are the ways we can maybe shut the door to the, or shut the, you know, because all Satan needs is a crack. How do we make sure he doesn't get in?
Well, what St. Maximin Kolbe really said, educate and consecrate. Consecrate our families, consecrate ourselves. Our Lady gives us promises, like you were talking about earlier. We had the whole chapter 13 is spiritual warfare and the message of hope in the book, Spiritual Deceptions, and it's for parents. So what, and many parents don't take the time to educate. They're like using this, okay, it's good babysitter. Let the kids just be occupied. They're not even paying attention to what the kids are watching or interested in. But if they themselves have their homes, their families consecrated to the Sacred Heart, entrustment to the Sacred Heart, the promises of the Sacred Heart, it will give peace in their families, the promises of the rosary, and do it as a family rosary. Remember Father Payton, the family that prays together, stays together. There's so many different ways, the sacramentals like you were talking about. I mean, I know people that tape the St. Benedict medal with the Exorcist blessing on it on the bottom of the computer or on the iPads or, you know, in their bedrooms, wherever it is. The St. Patrick's breastplate, that's the one that I like to do every day, and it protects us against witchcraft, sorcery, magic, and all of that. St. Patrick used it himself when he had to go and deal with the pagan kings in Ireland, and he became invisible. That's why they call it the St. Patrick's breastplate, or the deer's cry, because he and his men were on horses, and the kings' soldiers did not see them. They were invisible. So we see Michael the Archangel. I mean, there's video games where you kill all the archangels and then you kill God. Or you know, there's a lot of sorcery in the games and all of that in the videos and the movies and the TV. So it's not just about the media. You know, adults, it's in all movies, as a matter of fact. It's in so many things because that's what sells.
All right. Well, Moira, I hate to do this. We have a slightly amended schedule today. I only have a moment or two left. Your book that's available, and we can have you back. We can always talk in greater length about a lot of this. Spiritual Deceptions in the Church and the Culture, a Comprehensive Guide to Discernment. I know the introduction is done by the author of An Exorcist Speaks. I think he's an exorcist as well?
Yes, who did the opening
to that? I think he is, right?
Yes, he was Father Gabriel Moore's best friend. And Father John Grigas, former rector of Marytown, also wrote the introduction. Father John Hamps wrote a whole chapter on demonology and deliverance with three other priests. There's quite a bit in here. But we do have at least two chapters really helping out with parents to know what to do, where to go with it, how to deal with it. And then also there's a whole section in the youth, how to confess, so that they can, and not just youth. There's a lot of people I meet that are older that have, you know, they used to play these games when they were teenagers.
Yeah, sure.
And they, it's time to confess whatever you did, whenever you did it, however you did it. You know, I mean, I remember.
Well, I'm grateful you've done the book. I don't mean to cut you off, but I got to leave it right here. Spiritual Deceptions in the Church and the Culture, Comprehensive Guide to Discernment by Moira Noonan. Moira, keep up your good work. I look forward to connecting with you at some point. I know you speak around the country and around the world, so maybe our paths will cross again. I think it was divine providence that allowed our paths to cross, so it was good to see you.
Good. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Moira Noonan. You can get her book at all Catholic bookstores. You could go ahead and, of course, look online for it as well. It's a great way to get it. I don't think she sells it at her website, but she also has another book as well, a couple different books that she has done. One is called Ransoms from Darkness, The New Age, Christian Faith and the Battle for Souls. That was a pretty big seller. And this is her latest one, Spiritual Deceptions in the Church and the Culture. Something to look at, something to be aware of, and especially to put into I think, affect the spiritual weapons that we've been given to protect ourselves. I mean, Satan exists. I mean, take a look at the division in your family and all the other problems that you have. There's no doubt about it. But I often think of something that I once read where, you know, the version said that the one who prays, you know, doesn't fear the future. And the one who fasts, and this is really key, we're getting into Lent, right, does not fear the evil one. So when you pray, you don't fear the future. Why? Because I think you're in communion with God. You know, you're communicating it. Your trust increases. The one who fasts, there's a spiritual power in fasting. Fasting and prayer. Christ even told us through prayer and fasting, suddenly certain demons can be cast out. Satan hates when you fast. So if there's division in your family, there's anger, if there's addiction, if there's infidelity, there's sickness, my advice to you, try praying and fasting. And you'll see that. Pray for the discernment that you need, too. I got to leave it right there. I'm going to be back with more on the other side. We got a lot to get into this afternoon. Monsignor Rossetti will be stopping by. Peter Granich will be stopping by. Boy, we got a lot to talk about. So more conversation right after this.